face masks. And now, right now, some of you are thinking, well, that's not controversial. And then you're thinking about it a little further, and you're thinking, what's he going to say about it? I can see the discomfort on your faces from here, all right? Well, good evening. I've got 7 o'clock. We're good to go back? Okay, all right. I've got 7 o'clock, so we need to pray. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for your word to us. Thank you for the opportunity that you give us to come together once again, to look into it, to learn from it. And Lord, as we are looking at the topics of contemporary issues, Lord, those things that are going on in our world, in your world right now, I pray, Lord, that you would guide us, that you would teach us what you want us to know so that we can respond to the things that we're seeing around us in a way that will honor you, magnify you, and even bless those around us, Lord. So thank you for our time, and it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right. last week I made a last minute announcement about a 10 minute lesson that I was going to give because we thought we had a missionary coming. And I'm not going to give that 10 minute lesson. I've expanded it a little bit. So we're going to look at it just a little bit further in depth. And I mentioned that it's something that has been a bit of a controversy. In fact, just about every topic that we're going to look at through this series has some controversy attached to it. They are issues, and we need to decide as God's children what side of those issues we need to be on. Initially, I was not even going to bring this topic up, and there's a couple reasons for that. Number one, it hasn't been a great issue here at River Valley Bible Church, at least as far as I can see. It hasn't been a great issue here. Secondly, in comparison to the other contemporary issues that we're going to be looking at, this one almost kind of seems not even worthy, and you'll understand here in a minute. And then thirdly, what we're going to look at tonight is a gray area. In fact, there's only one aspect of this entire topic we're going to look at tonight that is actually black and white. Everything else about it is kind of a gray area, which makes it kind of hard for you and I to decide, okay, where should I be here? Where should I be here? But the Bible does address gray areas. It calls them liberties. Things that aren't specifically spelled out in Scripture as right and wrong, but it can be right or wrong depending upon how we respond to it, which makes it really all the more critical that we respond in a way that will bless others. All right, here's the topic. Are you ready? Face masks. And now, right now, some of you are thinking, well, that's not controversial. And then you're thinking about it a little further, and you're thinking, what's he going to say about it? I can see the discomfort on your faces from here, all right? Well, we're gonna talk about it a little bit, and I'll just let you figure it out as we go here, okay? But anyway, who'd have thought that something like this could cause such a stir? I called it a great controversy last week, not really because it's a big deal, but because many have made it a very significant thing. They've made it a very big deal. Fights, arrests, verbal abuse, removal from businesses and airplanes for not wearing a mask. So how should we respond? And really, what would be a biblical response to it? Well, I think maybe the place to start, my introduction's a little bit lengthy tonight, because initially that's all I was going to give you, was about a 10 to 15 minute deal, and then I'm done, and Matt Moore was going to be here, and he could field the questions, I guess. But anyway, but I did extend it a little bit, so as about 10, 15 minutes into this, we'll actually get to our four-point outline. That's basically what I added to the topic. But who'd have guessed that something like this could be controversial? And it is, isn't it? It really has become that way. Well, I got a couple things from the CDC, and I'll have you pull that up in just a minute there, Dave. Not quite yet. But right from the CDC website, and also listed on the Nevada Health website, it states that wearing a mask may slow the spread of COVID-19. Okay? The mask, at best, only offers really the possibility that it will slow the spread in a community. It's not a black and white issue, the reality of it. Okay? It's not a black and white issue. It's not that those who don't wear it can get others sick and those who do won't. It's not that cut and dry. The mask may or may not slow the speed. Along with that, again from the CDC website, and I'll have you pull this up. I got Dave a page, and this is only a snippet from the page. Maybe in a minute I'll have you scroll all the way up so that people can see that it's actually from the CDC website. But from the CDC website, they did a sampling of 160 people that were diagnosed with COVID-19. And this was from 11 different Instacares around the United States. And there's a whole big list that they went through of questions that they asked. But this is at the very bottom of it. And of the 160 people that had COVID-19, six of them, actually five, said that they never wore a mask. Six of them said they rarely wore a mask. 11 said sometimes. 22 said often. 108 said they always wore a mask. So I'm not showing you this to tell you, all right, stop wearing a mask. And know that that's not my goal here tonight, okay? I want to seriously tell you that that's not my goal, is to convince masked people to not wear one or non-masked people to not wear it, okay? Or to wear one. But if you went by this stat alone, one might think that the thing causes it, all right? But right from the CDC, a mask, the bottom line is, and this is important because as we look at the world view here, they know what the CDC says, but they interpret it differently, okay? It may or may not slow the spread. In fact, by these stats, your chances of getting it are good if you wear a mask. Here's why I bring this up. I have had people tell me that I will not come to church if you don't require face masks. And I have had people tell me I will not come to church if you make me wear a face mask. So there's the dilemma that we as the leadership are in. Many are in the world are viewing it as a black and white issue. So that's why I wanted to talk about it. Again, I've been asked, and really, I've only been asked this by a few people. Maybe you've been asked, and I just haven't heard about it. But I have been asked, so why don't you require masks at church? And I'll just tell you right now that I'm sure I'm going to say something tonight that is going to make everybody a little uncomfortable, regardless of what side you're on. Well, there you go. You just get up and walk out. I had a dream, a nightmare like that once, okay? Why don't you require masks at church? And my response to them is, they are already required. They are already required. Our governor has issued a face mask mandate for public spaces in this state. When we are in close proximity to one another, if we're gathering a crowd, it is mandated. And then I have sent out announcements and emails that stated exactly what the governor has said. The people that have asked me that question were not happy with that answer. So what I've figured is the real question that they're asking is, why don't you enforce that mandate? Why don't you enforce that mandate? Well, first of all, we as the leadership here at River Valley Bible Church, we're not in law enforcement. That's not our goal here, all right? We're not going to deny someone access to church, access to worship, for not wearing masks. Just like we're not going to deny them access to church if we found out they rolled through a stop sign on the way here. You know, we're not in law enforcement. And we're here to worship God. That's why people come through the doors here, is to worship God. And we want everybody to be able to do that. And I have had casual conversations with all of the elders on this topic, at least at some point in time. And all of them recognize the potential divisiveness of the topic, okay? It is pretty much a lose-lose decision to enforce that mandate, because we're then being asked to decide which group of people's spiritual needs are more important to us. The I will not come to church if you make me wear a mask group, or the I will not come to church if you don't require a mask group. So we won't enforce the mandate because we don't want to create any kind of division here among this body. Your spiritual life, all of you, is our greatest concern. Worship of God is why we come together, and I can't deny anyone of that. And as a result, we have both masked people and unmasked people attending and worshiping God together pretty regular. What we are doing seems to be working for us. God seems to be blessing it. It's allowing anyone who is not fearful to come and worship. So then the question is, what about the law of love? All right, we've talked about the actual law of the state, all right, the mandate that's been set forth. But what about the law of love? Shouldn't we put the interests of others ahead of our own? If you loved me, you would wear a mask. So let's look at a couple passages of Scripture. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. A passage that is probably familiar to you. Philippians chapter 2 and verses 3 and 4. Says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. That's the law of love. In fact, it's reiterated, if you'll turn there, in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14 says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself." All right, so there's the law of love right there. So here's the question. Who are these written to, the masked people or the unmasked people? It's written to both, right? So, you know, to quote the law of love and say you don't love me because you're not wearing a mask, well, you don't love me because maybe I have some issues too to where I can't. And we'll talk about this a little bit more, but it does. It goes both ways. Each should look out for the interests of the others. I wear a mask because I love you. I want to lessen the possibility of inadvertently getting you sick. I wear a mask because I love you. It's a small price to pay, a small price to pay to be able to worship corporately. That is a proper biblical perspective. But the mask itself is a gray area in the law of love. It guarantees nothing. So on the flip side, I don't wear a mask because I love you. I want to demonstrate to you that God's in control. He's not worried about this COVID-19 thing. He knows the number of my days and your days, and a mask isn't going to change that. It guarantees nothing. It may or may not slow the spread. So I want to show you that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love and of a sound mind. See, both of these can be loving acts, and I haven't even included some people. They're at a health risk if they do wear the mask, okay? They're at more of a risk for having it on than not having it on from other things, okay? So to be loving, all of us need to look out for the interests of the others. With those people that perhaps are not wearing one because it's more of a risk to them. We don't know who they are. We don't know who they are. Again, my goal here tonight is not to convince the non-mask people to wear a mask, and it's not to convince the masked people to not wear one. My goal here tonight is to let each of us consider the interests of others as we do our own. That's what the Bible tells us to. And when we fail to do that, Galatians 5:15 says, "But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." This will be a divisive issue only if we let it be a divisive issue, okay? Only if we make it one. The bottom line is, keep in mind the interests of one another. Keep that in mind, and don't make this a thing, all right? And then, from both perspectives, we can't, back to that question of why don't you enforce it at church? Well, I can't enforce love. Love is mandated. We're commanded in Scripture to love one another, but I can't enforce love. I can't make anyone love someone else. And that is why we won't enforce the mask thing. If I could make you love your neighbor, there's a whole lot more things that I'd have above a mask on my list, okay? Like sharing the gospel. We'd mandate, you gotta share the gospel once this week or else you can't come to church. All right, so there's some things that would be above that. We can't enforce love. We can't enforce bravery. We can't make anyone not fear or be concerned for their health. In fact, there's nothing wrong with that. We need to be good stewards of our body. We know our bodies. There's nothing wrong with being a good steward of our body, and that's why we won't disallow the wearing of masks. Wear one if you like. This can be a divisive issue, can't it? Has anybody felt a little discomfort already? Okay, Paul.
I have something I'd like to interject, if I could. I agree with what you're saying, but I think there are elements within our society that are intentionally trying to weaken America by dividing Americans, whether it be on this issue or on race or on what you name the topic.
Yeah.
The old conquer and divide. And those politicians that have mandated this, rather than leaving it up to individual senses of responsibility, if you will, or perhaps people feel like, you know, like you said, the CDC, Center for Disease Control, or the statistics that you show didn't really give you a lot of confidence that the masks were working that well.
Right, right.
But anyhow, my point is that I think there are forces within our culture and outside of our culture, enemies within and without, that are doing everything they can to divide Americans, yeah, to weaken our country.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about that last week. We looked specifically at COVID-19. Mm-hmm. And there is no question that it is being used by our adversary. He's right at the core of this, mm-hmm, with fear, okay? And, you know, again, my goal here tonight is there are a lot of political things that we could look at, but the bottom line, we need to look at it from a biblical perspective. That's really where the core of the issue is, and then respond to these things the way God would want us to respond. So no, I appreciate the comment. Appreciate the comment. All right, so if we are getting angry at non-mask wearers because they are not loving me like I'm loving them, then I don't think it's ever been about love, but about fear. We're angry because we fear they might be getting us sick. Love is what we do for others unconditionally. And on the flip side of that, if we are getting angry at mask wearers because we think they're not as brave or trusting in God as we are, well, then we're not about love either. We're about pride and selfishness, and that can be divisive. Galatians 5:13, if you're still in the passage, says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." And whatever side of the fence you are, and I hope my actual goal in this lesson was to be done, and you think, I'm not sure what side of the fence he's on. All right? That truly, because we're looking at this from a biblical perspective, and the reality, while the law is black and white, the reality of this is a gray area. We don't know if it works or not, all right? So anyway, continuing on here. Let us not use our liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, no matter what side of this that we're on. My hope is to help us understand that this can be a divisive issue, but it doesn't have to be a divisive issue. And each of us need to do exactly what the Lord is leading us to do. So now with this information, and we are going to be done early tonight, okay? Just so you know, like I said, this was originally going to be a 10-minute deal, and I just expanded on it. So we'll probably be done in, well, early. Early. The world's view. Here we go to our four-point outline now. Look, taking what we've looked at thus far. The world's view is wearing a mask may slow the spread of COVID-19. Now, the CDC defines it as a possibility with no evidence that it will. All right. The world at large, however, defines it as a great possibility that it will. and even promotes the wearing of masks as a guarantee. They're promoting it as a shield. The state of Arizona, right on their highway conditions sign between right at the Utah-Arizona border on I-15, and they don't run it every day, but they have a sign that they run. It says, wear a mask, slow the spread of COVID-19. And it's stated as a guarantee that it will. The state of Nevada has put together a great little drawing. You can go to their health website, and you'll probably be able to find this drawing somewhere on there. And they put it up there right after the masks were mandated. They put this little drawing up there, and it shows two people in three situations. The first situation is with neither of the people wearing a mask, and it has in bold lettering, high risk. The next one down has one person wearing a mask, the other one doesn't. It says medium risk. The third person, the third scenario has both people wearing a mask, and it says low risk. It's just a drawing. It's just a drawing, all right? The evidence doesn't support it. We don't know. We don't know how I got to tell you, common sense tells me that it's got to do something though, right? Common sense tells me it is blocking. But anyway, the world's view is wearing a mask may slow the spread of COVID-19. However, the world at large interprets that as being a great possibility that it will. The world's response then is to mandate the wearing of masks. I talked to Jeannie Cole the other day. She and Dan, throughout the summer, they went traveling through a bunch of states in our country. And she said just about every single state that they visited had a mask mandate. Mm-hmm. And most countries around the world do. Many obey that mandate out of fear. They wear one because they don't want to get the virus, and that's perfectly okay. But some obey out of love. They wear one because they don't want to inadvertently give someone the sickness, and that is perfectly okay. That's loving. So the world's response, though, in that is to mandate love, so to speak. The biblical view. The biblical view is, and it is two parts to this, the law is black and white. The mask is a gray area. Let's start with the first part. The law is black and white, and we need to turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. I'm going to read you verses 1 through 10. Romans chapter 13 and verses 1 through 10 says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister to avenge, God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, all are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. All right. Couple questions here. Long passage. But what are some things that we learn in this passage concerning those who are in authority?
Well, we are to obey their commands.
Okay. We are to obey them.
But what if they're against God's law?
Okay. That is where the line is drawn. But that's not what he's talking about here. Yeah, in fact, he specifically named the Ten Commandments in the end of this passage because these are commands that do govern just about every nation. And it's those things that agree with God's word that I think are being addressed here. So what are some things we learn in the passage about those in authority? Jeff?
That they're there through the grace of God. I mean, they're appointed by God.
Okay, God's the one that put them there. And I think he's talking, I will tell you, less about the executive branch and more about the legislative and the justice system, okay? What else do we learn about them?
Love your neighbor.
Okay. Okay, we're rebelling, but all right, so what do we want to know about the authority, though? We said that God put him there. What's he there for? Jeff?
To ensure good works and to punish evil.
Okay, yeah, to punish the bad guys and keep safe the innocent guys. All right. Next question. And this goes along with what Eula just said, and I kind of answered this already, but is this passage talking about laws that agree or disagree with God's word?
Agree.
Okay, it's talking about those things that agree with it, that at least don't contradict it. And I think that's evident because he does name the Ten Commandments in there, and he does say that what they're enforcing is good, and what is considered criminal is considered evil here. What are some things we learn in the passage concerning those governing laws that are based upon God's word? And then this is the to us now. How do we respond according to the passage? How should we respond according to the passage?
Subjectively, yeah.
What was that, Dave?
Obey those laws.
Okay. Oh, be obedient. That's right. Be obedient to those laws. Anything else?
Do what is good.
Do what is good.
You'll have praise from God.
That's right. That's right. Be a law-abiding citizen. In fact, we were reading in Proverbs the other Tuesday morning about when we are free of guilt. I don't remember exactly how the passage read. Maybe Rich or Mitch remember, but it talked about having sweet sleep at night because we've done what is right in the day. All right. All right. Here's the second part of the biblical view. The first part is that the law itself is black and white. It's black and white. And just for those of us who are law savvy, politics savvy, okay, this know that I understand that this mask mandate is in kind of a different category than the actual written laws that we have in our country, but it is a black and white mandate. So here's the second part of the biblical view. The reality of the mask is a gray area. Romans chapter 14. You're in 13, go to chapter 14. And I'll explain this when I'm done reading, but he's going to be talking about eating meat. Romans 14, verses 2 and 3 says, "For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let him not who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him." And then jump down to verses 14 and 15, same chapter. As Paul's speaking, he says, "I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean." Verse 15, "Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died." Now, the issue here in our passage is the eating of meat that had previously been used to sacrifice to idols. All right, that's what this meat is. And some believers thought, they saw the eating of that meat as sin. It's wrong. We shouldn't be doing this. Others understood that it's just meat. And an idol, it really is nothing. It's nothing. It was a gray area with neither side having perfect justification for their actions. Well, the reality of the mask, too, is a gray area. So those are the two sides of the biblical view, all right? The law is black and white. The mask in itself is indeed a gray area. So now the biblical response. The biblical response is obey the laws. Obey the laws. Obey the laws of our land and obey the law of love. All right? Let's look at that first one. Obey the law of the land. Unless it discriminates against or hinders our worship of God. Acts 5:29. Let's go ahead and turn there. Acts 5:29. Is anybody, just quickly, has anybody felt uncomfortable so far? No? Really? I'm not doing my job then. All right. Has anybody, well, all right, I'm not going to push the issue. I can't help but think that there are people in the room that are on either side. So, and because I'm addressing both sides, certainly it can't be pleasing to everybody's ear. All right, Acts chapter 5, verse 29. It says, "But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men.'" And this particular issue, Peter was ordered not to share the gospel of Christ. And this was his response. I have to obey God. I can't obey you in this situation. I have to obey God rather than man. And in that, we must look at every area which we are commanded by God to do something and really continue to do it, even if the law of the land says we should. All right? These are on things that are discriminatory against God and his ways. Now, here's the question. Is it discriminatory? Is it? Is it only the church that it has to wear them? All right. And then again, this is highly opinionated. Go ahead, Jeannie.
Well, what upsets me about the mask, it's not the mask, it's the controlling of people based on
Okay.
It's the fear that's put into everybody.
Yeah.
And each person has an individual, I mean, even now they say if you're negative, you can still pass it on.
Right.
So what do? We'll go around in a big old fire?
I'm just giving you what God's word says, okay? You do with it what you want.
Well, I'm just saying that to me that is not a rule that interferes with love or anything. It's just someone trying to control me in a way that I have no choice.
Amen.
It is this issue, and that's, again, why I bring it up. It is highly, highly opinion-driven.
And then there's shaming. If you really care about someone, put on a mask.
Right. I address that. Yes. I address that. All right. See, this is a hot issue, isn't it? Is it good that I addressed it or not? Should I just left it alone?
I'll push your mask on.
Becky.
What I see a lot is they listen to the science.
Oh. Well.
So the CDC right there that gave me some.
Right. There's so much more to this than what is written in black and white. And I agree with you, but I think, and well, I'll get down to where I am here in a minute, and you can do with this information what you want to do. I'm not going to judge you. Don't judge me. All right? But we are told in Scripture, obey the law of the land. The mask does not discriminate. I mean, it isn't just the church that has to do it. All right, so I personally have found, and this is kind of where I am. You know, I told you I kind of wanted you to wonder where I was in this. I think you know where I am, but I'm going to tell you where I am right now. I have personally found that singing, preaching, teaching with the mask has hindered my heart of worship. Okay, it has. It is a distraction. Now, you know, when I first started wearing glasses, they were too. But I have to wear them all the time. I'm used to them now. This is going to go. This is going to go. And even as it is right now, I wear it 2 hours a week. So it is very distractive for me to wear it while I worship. I tried. I couldn't do it. But otherwise, the biblical response is to obey the law of the land and then obey the law of love. In Romans, we read, Paul says, I know and am convinced by the Lord that there's nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, it is unclean. And my point being is there are people, even that attend River Valley Bible Church perhaps, that think we are doing wrong by not wearing a mask. And they're okay. They can be there. That's okay. Yet if a brother is grieved because of your food, you're no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food, or the mask, or with the lack of mask, the one for whom Christ died. So this is where I've landed, and you need to decide where you land on the issue. I think probably most everybody has already, but I do. I want to obey the law of the land, but I don't want to be hindered in worship and in ministry. So typically, I will wear a mask around those that wear a mask if I'm in close proximity to them. And I won't wear a mask around people that are not wearing a mask if I'm in close proximity to them. Jim and then Jeff.
I think the same people that are mandating the masks are the same people that says if we don't eliminate fossil fuel, Florida will be underwater.
Okay. Well, same kind of science, right? Jeff.
What we do in our offices, we just, when people come in, we ask, you want us to wear a mask? And, you know, if they want, then that's fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, and say, that's okay, then we just carry on.
So that's pretty much where I have landed on it. Did I see it, Mitch?
Well, we aren't being discriminated with respect to the mask.
No.
But you are, we are being discriminated against with other aspects of this whole thing.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. There are other aspects other than mask, but today's topic is the mask. All right.
You know, you wear the mask, you stay 6 feet away.
Right.
You can't have more than 10 people, but I can go down to Walmart where they got 1,000 people.
Right.
Or Target or wherever.
Yeah, I'm not going to share it on something that's recorded. So let's, I've got my thoughts too. Ray, go ahead.
The mask could be another way that they try or intend to divide the church.
Yes, and that's why I finally decided that I needed to talk about it, with my entire goal of the subject being, don't, please. Don't let it be a divisive issue.
Right.
Yeah.
But they're trying to do it to us.
Right. All right. Any other comments? And I'm just about done here. Wow, this is almost going to be like a full-length class. Richard.
I think it's up to you.
Okay.
So we traveled around this summer for 2.5 months. And surprisingly enough, the state of Washington doesn't require you to wear a mask. But they're more restrictive than any other state we were in.
I wasn't aware of that. Okay.
If you wore a mask, then you didn't.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
So, like Colorado, you were required to. If you were out in public, you were required to have a mask.
Right.
But,
And I'll tell you what makes it very difficult for us here in Mesquite, too, is it's mandated here. If you go a mile east, it's not mandated in Arizona. same community. Anyway, all right, I'm about done here. Paul says, and you don't have to turn there, but this is in 1 Corinthians 9:19. He says, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more." And I want you to know that while we may not agree with this, there are others, brothers and sisters in Christ, that have a different view. And just like they want us to look out for their interests, we should look out for theirs as well. Don't make it divisive. Where did I get this? I think it's in Romans. I didn't write down a reference. I'll just read it to you. "Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats." And I'll just reread that, supplementing some words here. "Let not him who wears a mask despise him who does not wear a mask, and let not him who does not wear a mask judge him who wears a mask." That's the law of love right there. That's the law of love. My goal has been to mirror what Paul's goal was in Scripture. Don't make it divisive. And what I dislike the absolute most about this, all right, is it hides the one feature of our face that can encourage someone the most, our smile. That's what I dislike about it the most. All right, I am done. If you guys have a few comments, shoot them out there. Try to keep it on the biblical side rather than the political side. But anything?
How about on the scientific side?
On the scientific side, you saw it.
Absolutely.
You saw the side. Oh, just throw this in there. We can get you that website. If you want the website, I can get it for you. But it took me a little while. I was actually showed a clip of what I showed you last week, but I wanted to make sure that it was actually on the website, so I went and found it. And here's something else that's interesting, is the out of the 160 people that got COVID-19, the two places that these people went the least, or actually, how do I word this? Only 12 of those 160 went to church. All right? So only 12 of the people that got it, potentially got it at church. And the other one was bars, but anyway. Ray.
140. They want us to wear it so the government can focus more on IRA.
Oh, okay. All right. So a little conspiracy theory going here. All right. All right. Jeannie. That's actually not. Have you ridden a motorcycle? That's not a bad idea. All right. We're done. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for the joy that we can have in talking about a topic like this. And Lord, you know that my goal was not to poke fun at it, but to look at it from your view, so that we might respond in a way that would be honoring to you. And I do pray, Lord, that regardless of whatever side of this we might fall on, that we would indeed be taking into account the interests of others. Really, it is the law of love that we should be displaying. And so thank you. Thank you for the insight that your word can give us on even such a topic as face masks. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.